Hello, this is Pastor Rob of Bethel Church in Tempers Plains, where our mission is connecting people to God. Welcome to our podcast today. We have a very special guest with us today, and I believe you'll be blessed by this message. Isaiah tells us the yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing. Please listen and receive this anointed message and allow the Holy Spirit to break any yoke or burden that may be hindering you today. God bless. Have a great day.
So he does want us to grow in love. And the reason why he is kind of putting this in front of us today, I don't know, you may not want to go. Things are feeling real different right now. The reason why he wants to like focus on this today is because our human understanding of love is so flawed. It's flawed. It's also incomplete. We just don't understand all of it. And the parts that we do know, we've kind of perverted. And so he wants us to go deeper in our relationship with him so that we can better know and more understand how we can demonstrate love to all people. Okay? Yes, he wants us to understand his love for us. He wants us to understand that so that we can better love all people, his kids. Amen? Amen. So God, the creator of all, one of God's nicknames is Elohim, and that means he's the creator of all. He created four unique forms of love. And these forms of love are depicted in the Bible. They're depicted in the Bible. The first one is Eros. And Eros is passionate and romantic love. The second one is Storge. And Storge is family love. It's the love that a parent has for a child. It's the love that siblings have for one another. The next one is Philia. Philia love is friendship love. And the highest form is agape. And agape love is God's love for mankind. Amen? So let's go through these. Let's go through these. You can take a break, babe. I feel a little settled. Let's go through the first one. The first one is Eros. Everyone say Eros. Yes, Eros. And so Eros is passionate, romantic love. And it also has a connotation. There's when you break down words that from the Hebrew and you break down words from in the Greek, it's almost like you're opening up a box and you're pulling out other words because these other words mean that as well. And that's the reason why I really like the Strong's Concordance. Pastor last week was talking about the Blue Letter Bible. It's online. It's fantastic. When you open up the word Eros, it is the passionate, romantic love between husband and wife. Can we say husband and wife? Can we say that as a declaration? Husband and wife. We need to declare that in the word and in the world. Husband and wife. Boys and girls. Yeah, we need to declare that in the world, that Eros, when it's not perverted, when it's not distorted, when it's truly biblical, is the passionate romantic love between husband and wife. So let's declare that one more again. Husband and wife. Amen. So let's not get that twisted. Let's not get that twisted. Amen. Look, everybody else out there, they can do what they want to do. This is America. You have that right. But when you're living the Bible way, when you're doing it the biblical way, it's between husband and wife, not your girlfriend and your boyfriend. You got to have a piece of paper. As Beyonce says, put a ring on it. Okay, because not only does the world have the whole gender thing confused, but the church has some things confused as well. We have fallen into the thing of, well, when we love each other so deeply, what do we need a piece of paper for? Because God said you need a piece of paper. It's really that simple. It's really, really that simple. Amen, church? You need that piece of paper, husband and wife. And this Eros love is crucial to a healthy and happy marriage. It's crucial to a long-lasting marriage. Otis, how many years have we been married? Thank you. I seriously just forgot in this second. Yes, we've been married 31 years, and I thank the Lord that we both were saved when we got together, because that helped us weather the rough patches. Okay? So, you know, Otis and I, we've conducted marriage counseling for unsaved couples. It's hard. It's so hard because it's so easy for them to do the escape hatch of divorce, and they don't have that anchor of Jesus in the middle. It's really hard to conduct marriage counseling with unsaved couples. So it's wonderful. If you are unmarried right now, if you are wanting to get married for the first time or get married again and again, it's crucial that your relationship with God is good. Be a whole person before you join with a whole other person. Be a whole person. We got to come out the airy fairy. This ain't a movie. Okay, because when you get married, you suffer with things. You suffer with things like infertility. When you get married, you suffer with things like doing somebody else's laundry, cleaning up somebody else's stuff, waking up with somebody who has bad breath. I'm talking about me too. Look, did I even give him a side eye? I didn't even look over at him, did I? I didn't look at him, but this Eros element is so crucial. It helps weather the rough patches. So when I get on Pastor Otis's last nerve, and trust me, I do, y'all know me. Sometimes I'm unfriendly. You can say yes, husband. You can say, it's not a trap. It's not a trap. I am being transparent. I am being transparent. Sometimes I am unfriendly to this wonderful, friendly, sanguine husband that I have who always seems to be up. Sometimes he's so up, I just want to say, would you come down for 5 minutes? Because I can't get where you are today. But Eros love, it really helps when you have those rough patches, when you have those times where you just don't feel like being bothered. You can go back and remember that, and then it restarts the engine. It restarts the engine. Now everybody close your eyes, because this is private. This is nobody's business. Nobody's business. If you, in your marriage relationship, need the Eros engine restarted, I'm just going to pray. I'm going to pray. And the Lord, Holy Spirit, is going to restart that thing. Father God, right now in the name of Jesus, we just thank you that we have folks in here that have been married for a long season, and we have people that have been married for a short time. We've got folks with little kids that wake up in the middle of the night and interrupt things, and we've got folks who've been married for a long time, Lord God, who just have kind of drifted off into the married singleness phase. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you restart that Eros engine. Restart it, Lord God, right now in the name of Jesus, so that they can get back to where you are and what you desire for them to do as a couple. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, although the word Eros is not specifically translated in the Hebrew or the Greek, you can see Eros love in the book of Song of Solomon. I tell you, if you need your engine restarted, Song of Solomon is for you. Hallelujah. And it's in the Bible. It's in the Bible. Okay? So when we say that we need that restarted, it's in the Bible. I'm not preaching from the pulpit, let's get involved in porn or something, or go see a romantic movie. No, read the word. It's all there. Amen? It's all there. So, Song of Solomon, nice dinner out, rev the engine. Can we say hallelujah? All right, let's move on to storge love. Storge love. Storge love is family love. It's that love that you feel for your kids, even when they get on your nerves. It's that love that you feel for your kids when they keep saying, that's mine, don't touch that. Or she's breathing on me, he's kicked me, you know. You just like, you have to say, Lord, please, please reignite the storge, because these children are on my nerves. It's okay to say that to the Lord. It's okay. Storge, we can see that depicted in the Bible in the relationship of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, specifically in Luke 10. You can also see it in Romans 12:10. And can you put that up? Romans 12:10. It says, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another. Now, the word love here is a compound word, and that compound word is philostorge. Philostorge. And what that means is that we are to love our friends, our family so much that it feels like it's blood relation. And we'll talk more about that when we get to philia. It comes together so closely. Even when you are not completely related to someone, it's there. We can feel storge love in our church family. For those of us who have troubled past with your blood relations, you can experience healing with storge love with your church family. You can feel that. In Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, it says, therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. That's from the English Standard Version, okay? We are to be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love as Christ loved us. Okay, so as Christ loved us. Again, if you have troubled relationships, yes, I sense that. I hear you, Lord. And yeah, it's painful. I sense it right now because that's one of my giftings, discernment of spirits. Those relate, thinking back to hard times or strife with a father, or hard times or strife with a mother or a sibling. It's painful, but it can be healed when you become in relationship with your church family. A good example of that is my friend Robin. My friend Robin, now y'all may not know Robin as well, but you probably know Cohen. He's the little redhead boy that runs up and down. That's my God, baby Cohen. I love him, and he's super special. He's super special and super busy. Talk about, you know, digging deep for the storge love. I had Rayleigh, Kyla, and Cohen. They spent the night with us Friday night while Maya Lynn was doing the band. Do your thing, girl. Where's she at? Oh, she went to youth. Maya Lynn's in the band, y'all, and she is super cute. Super cute. So my friend Robin, we got to know each other really well at our former church. And Robin was my child care provider, well, our child care provider for Seth and Jay when they were babies. And Robin and I, we got into a close relationship when Robin started dating a man named Michael. And he's an African-American man and not Catholic, which for Robin's family was a pretty big deal, him being not Catholic. And unfortunately, it was also a pretty big deal that he's black. And Robin has had Oh, and look, I asked Robin if I could talk about this first, if everybody's wondering why I'm telling all Robin's business. We talked yesterday. She said it's cool. So Robin has, ever since she's married Michael and had this beautiful family, and they are super cute, if I say so myself. They're super cute and fun. But she's had a strained relationship with her parents ever since. And when all of that was beginning and emerging, and it was painful for Robin and she didn't understand, my heart just stuck to her. And I've been stuck to her ever since. We are not blood related, but Robin is my sister. I love her. I love her deeply. And if something ever happened to her, I would really have to press into the Holy Ghost and war, because it would pain me so deeply. And all of that stemmed from a church relationship. She is my friend. I am her friend. She is my sister. And I think she thinks of me as her sister, since, you know, I'm her kid's godmommy. So it's wonderful. With each the birth of each child, I was just like, yay, I'm getting more kids. It's so great. And oh my gosh, I couldn't even stand myself when a boy came, because first it was three girls and then Cohen came. We just didn't even know how to be. It was so exciting. And he has red hair too. A little white black baby with red hair. It's so fun. It's so fun. So you can experience that. You can have that. And what I've found is that because I have this wonderful close relationship with my sister, my sister Robin, it has enabled me to see and have a better relationship with my blood sister. Healing can come that way. It can come that way. Father God, in the name of Jesus right now, I just sense that there are some folks in our congregation that have painful memories. Holy Spirit just wants me to tell you that you're justified in feeling angry. Your pain is justified. He sees it, but he wants to remove it. He wants to remove it. He wants you to move forward. Fellowship is key, says the Spirit of the living God. Fellowship is key. Our connect groups are a wonderful way for us to fellowship, to experience what storge love is supposed to be. If you didn't experience that in your household the way the Lord has designed it, if you didn't experience that, you can experience it here and move on into not ignoring the past or ignoring your pain, but not feeling it, not dwelling on it, being stronger and overcoming it. That is his plan for you. That is his plan for us. The Lord is good. So, Father God, we thank you for our connect groups, and we thank you that we're all just coming together and that we're getting stronger. We have friends. We have family that we can talk to about anything. So, look, I didn't even know I was going to be plugging connect groups today. You're welcome, Pastor Eddie. Let's move on to Philia. Philia love is friendship love. It's friendship love. It is a love that is based on mutual respect, shared devotion, joint interest, and common values. So these are the folks, you know, your friends are the folks that, you know, you feel comfortable kicking it with. When they come to your house and your sink is full of dishes, you don't care. You ain't trying to put on airs for them. Amen? And as a church family, we should all be like that when we go to one another's house. Not judgy, not legalistic, just being friends, because we have common interests, and our common interest is the blood of the Lamb. Amen? So filial love, it's so good. We can see a good, clear demonstration of filial love when we look at the relationship of David and Jonathan in 1 Samuel chapter 18, verses 1 and 3. You can see a clear picture of that. Okay, and let me say this. These folks that are running around trying to say that David and Jonathan were homosexual do not know how to exegesis the Bible. Okay, they were not. Yes, they had a deep love. They had a deep love, and their love was like a feeling. It was like a storge love. It was so strong. It was like a blood relation. There was no romantic element in their relationship. That's a lie from the pit of hell. Amen? Okay, so we'll leave that alone. But David and Jonathan were good friends. Jonathan was such a good friend to David that he defied his father when his father wanted David to be killed. His father was Saul. He was the king, and King Saul was really jealous of David because he was handsome and he was strong and he was winning a lot of wars, and King Saul was mad. And so he told Jonathan to kill David one time, and Jonathan was like, I can't do that. And he didn't do that because of his strong filial relationship with David. Filial love can be deep, and it can be long-lasting like a sibling relationship. And essentially, filial love is storge love applied to non-family members. That's what it is. It's storge love applied to non-family members. We see this in the story of Jesus when he was returning to raise Lazarus from the dead, and that's in John chapter 11. In verse 3, Jesus is told that he whom you love is sick. That word love in that verse is translated as philia. He whom you love is sick. We also see storge when at the end of that chapter of John chapter 11, at the end of the chapter where this is the memory verse that when you ask kids, say a memory verse, Jesus wept. That's the verse all kids know. At the end of that verse, we can see storge and we can see filial love depicted because Jesus was so upset. He was so, even though he knew that Lazarus was just sleeping is what the word says, even though he knew that he was going to raise him from the dead, he was still so taken aback by seeing his brother laying there dead. They had already wrapped him up and everything because they thought it was over. And so he was so affected by that, the Bible says that he wept. So let's turn to Romans chapter 12, verse 10 again. Romans chapter 12, verse 10. And that's the verse that says, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another. In this verse, we're told to be devoted to one another, devoted to love one another. And that word is translated Philadelphia. And we're all familiar with Philadelphia. That word just means friendliness, love, care. This is instructing us to love our neighbors as though they're our brothers. Love our neighbor as though they are our sister. And also, I love, this is one of the teachings that Keith Wasserman has been teaching for decades. Keith Wasserman is the executive director of Good Works, which is the homeless shelter in Athens, Ohio. He says that your neighbor is anyone you see. It's so true. He's so right. Love is a verb. It's something that you do, not only that you feel, okay? And so it's that thing that causes us to give when we see like our brothers and sisters in Puerto Rico that are experiencing another hurricane. They hadn't even gotten fixed up and repaired from the one, what was it, last year or a couple of years ago? And here comes another that has completely destroyed everything. I don't care if some of them are not Christian. It doesn't matter. They are my neighbor. I must care for them. I must be kindly affectionate to them. And when I honor them, when I give them preference, that's what I'm doing. That's what we do when we gave money to the people in Ukraine. We're good at that here at Bethel. We're givers. That's what we do. That's what we do. So we are to be devoted to one another in love. We are to Philadelphia one another in love. I just love to say that. I think that's funny. We are to Philadelphia one another. Let's go to agape. Agape is the highest of the four types of love depicted in the Bible. It's the highest. It's the highest because it's everlasting. When I think of that, it makes me giggle. His love is everlasting for me. When things are stressful at work, I just remember, I have the everlasting love of God. Hallelujah. It makes me excited. It's very good. So it's the highest because it's everlasting and it does not change. It will never change. Let's turn to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. And I'm going to start at verse 7. Talking about agape love. And agape love is God's love for mankind. God's love for mankind. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. And I'm going to read this from the English Standard Version. It says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. If God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Love is the fundamental characteristic of God. That's why he made us. That's why he created us. That's why he breathed into the dirt. Because he wanted to love us. It's good. Father, we thank you. Father, we thank you. Thank you, thank you. So it is his fundamental characteristic of who he is. He starts verse 7 with calling us beloved. Everybody say beloved. And turn to your neighbor and say beloved. Yes, because it's important for us to understand that. That is the Greek word agapetos, and it means dearly loved and one who's worthy of love. So when you turn to your neighbor and you call your neighbor beloved, you are telling that person that you are dearly loved and that you are worthy of love. I absolutely love that he started that verse by calling you beloved. And continuing in the verse, he says, beloved, let us love one another. Now, this word love here in that fragment, let us love one another, it is the Greek word agapeo. And it means to welcome, to entertain, to be fond of, to love deeply. To welcome, to entertain, to be fond of, to love deeply. Now, the next fragment of that verse, for love is of God, that word here is the word that we are mostly familiar with, agape. And agape means affection, goodwill, benevolence, and brotherly love. So, I agape you, Sister Barb. I agape you, Brother Vince. When I say that to them, I am saying that I have affection for you. I want good things for you. You are my brother and sister. That's what we're saying. I think that we have been just a little too loosey-goosey with that. I don't think that we have considered the weight of what we say when we tell someone that we love them. When we think of how we're supposed to love someone like Christ loves the church. So what I want to do, we talked about agapetos, we talked about agapeo, and we talked about agape. And all of those forms of love are in that first fragment of 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. So let me read that verse to you like this. Dearly loved and worthy one, let us welcome and love deeply one another. For affection, goodwill, benevolence, and brotherly love is of God. And everyone who welcomes and loves deeply is born of God and knows God. Okay? So I just read that to you with the translation of the Greek. I'm going to read it again. Dearly loved and worthy one, that's you, that's me. Let us welcome and love deeply one another, for affection, goodwill, benevolence, and brotherly love is of God. And everyone who welcomes and loves deeply is born of God and knows God. And then let's continue in verse 8. He says, he who does not love does not know God, for God is love. If you do not have affection, if you do not have goodwill, if you do not demonstrate benevolence, you don't know God. You don't know God. That's not my opinion, that's his word. 1 John verse 4, verse 8. If you do not have these things, if you are not showing these things, you don't know God. So that means that, no, you cannot sit in your house and be a hermit and never come out. That means that you cannot live your life and never serve another person, because that's what goodwill is. All of that is within that word. When we unpack the word agape, you pull out goodwill, you pull out affection, you pull out deep love and caring. If you are not giving to people, if you are not giving your time, you do not know God. You just don't. Verse 9, in this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Jesus came. There's an old song we used to sing when I was growing up. Jesus went to Calvary to save a wretch like you and me. That's love. And then the song goes on and says, they hung him high, they stretched him wide, he hung his head, and for me he died. That's love. Now, isn't it wonderful that we don't have to be crucified to show love? Isn't it wonderful? We don't have to wear a crown of thorns. We don't have to get beat or have our legs broken like Jesus did for us. Hallelujah. All we have to do is care for somebody, feed somebody, call somebody when they're sick. Remember our friends who have loved their husbands, who lost their husbands this year? That's all we got to do. That's all we got to do. We don't have to be crucified. But Jesus did that for us. We're thankful. Hallelujah. He made a way for us to go to heaven and enter the most holy place. That's wonderful. But that's not what he has asked us to do. Our responsibility is nowhere near what Jesus did. We have an easier road. Let's care. Let's show affection. Let's show goodwill. Let's show benevolence. I want to mess with that word benevolence right now. I want to mess with that word. Because many times, we as Christians, we think that we're going to show benevolence to people that are going to pick themselves up by their bootstraps and keep going forward. That's not what benevolence is. You give to people not expecting anything back. That's what benevolence is. We've got to get that straight. We've got to get that straight and get the politics out of it. Amen. We've got to get the politics out of this. I don't care if the Lord tells me to give money to the person who's sitting at the end of the freeway, that you know that exit when you get ready to get off to Bob Evans, going to Athens. There's a gentleman who sits there, oh, 2 or 3 days a week. And, you know, I'm sure he's cleaning up. But you know what? The Lord told me to give him $20. I gave him $20. I didn't sit in my car and judge him. That's not what benevolence is. The Lord told me to do it, and I did it. And I'm not expecting the Lord to bless me in return. But guess what? He does. Isn't that wonderful? All I got to do is do what he says, and then I get blessed, and I help someone else. Especially now that it's starting to get cold. I see some people in Athens that are sitting on the sidewalk with underneath newspapers. Benevolence is not, it's not a judgment call. You just do it. It's also affectionate. It's also affectionate to give to people. It's also affectionate to be invested in the lives of the people that you see around you. Like when I see Charlotte run through here, I just love it. I am so looking forward to watching her grow up. It's exciting to me. I love to see Taylor. Taylor, she's one of the teenagers. Taylor is in the marching band. She's also in concert band at her school. And she's learning the trombone. And look, y'all, this girl can play. She has a beautiful tone on her instrument. She sounds wonderful. She's going to start playing with the team. So when you guys see her, she's the kind of person where if you give her a compliment, she wants to shrink back. So don't compliment her completely all the way just yet. When she first plays, just look at her and just admire the cuteness. But when she starts, I don't know why I whispered that. When she starts to play, you're going to be very excited. I am invested in her growing in her instrument. She asked me and Otis several weeks ago, you know, I'm really thinking about when I grow up, I want to be a music teacher. I think that's what I want to go to college for. And oh, that got my motor going because, you know, Otis and I, we were music majors. And I told her, I said, girl, this is what you got to do. You got to take piano. Oh, I wish I had more piano before I went to college. And so just hearing her talk about her piano lessons and how she's growing in that and watching her become prepared for 4 years of college music, college level music, which is not fun all the time. Well, a lot of the time it was not fun. It was difficult, but watching her become prepared for that is exciting to me. I'm invested in that. We should be as a church family looking around and seeing how we can become more invested in the lives of one another. I love to see my brother's business. I love to all the things that you're doing with your business. It's exciting to me. I love that. I love it. Those things are wonderful. And my former pastor used to say, fellowship is important because it lets you know that there's other fellows in the ship. So when I sit and I talk with people at Brother Russ's memorial, I sat and had a wonderful conversation with Anna. And it was a wonderful conversation because Holy Spirit convicted me. And I had to go home after that conversation and I had to repent because I found in the conversation, look, Anna, I'm going to just tell it. You all right? Okay. I didn't know I was going to go there. I would have talked to you first. In that conversation, it was wonderful because I was convicted and I went home and I made a course correction in the way that I think about single people. unmarried people. Some of the things that she shared with me, and that how a lot of the activities in churches and just our church and all churches are geared towards married people. And that sometimes as a single person, you can kind of feel a little bit like lower or in a lower place. And I felt convicted by that. And I went home and I asked the Lord and I said, God, how can I be more inclusive? When you have that type of mindset, when you allow Holy Spirit to talk to you and you accept his conviction, and you accept his conviction, you're being kindly affectionate to one another. That's what we do. Well, that's what we ought to do. That's what we ought to do. We have to consider our ways. We have to consider the way we think. Yes. We have a lot of immigrants coming to our country. A lot of immigrants coming to our country. And they're coming because where they were is not safe. It's dangerous. Their children are being raped. It's rough where they come from. And so they walk for days and weeks to come to our border. Some people are coming in illegally. Yes, and that is wrong. But this verse doesn't tell me to be only kindly and affectionate to the people that come here legally. It doesn't say that to me. And I want people to follow the law. The law is important. If we don't have law, our country will fall apart. I get that. But are we being kindly and affectionate? Are we considering where people are coming from and why they are walking for days and days and days and allowing themselves to be smuggled to come here? Yeah, we're a good place to be. We're a good country. We love people. And we also love people that can take care of themselves. But we should also love people that don't have the ability to take care of themselves. And I know that this is a hard thing. It's a hard thing for me to say. I don't really like being political. I really don't. But this is not a political argument. This is Jesus. This is Jesus. And he wants us to love his people. He wants us to love his people. And when we love, we do it without fear. We don't have to worry that there won't be enough for us in this country because our Father has cattle on 1,000 hills. Isn't that what the word says? Our Father has all, sees all, knows all. He also says that when we give, it will be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. That's what the word says. So as I give, that means I'm making room for other stuff to come back to me. I don't have to be afraid that people are going to come here and take from me. I don't have to be afraid of that because I trust his word that says give, good measure, pressed down, shaken together. I don't have to be afraid. I don't have to be worried because his promises are true. His promises are yes and amen. And when he says yes, that's a real yes. When he says amen, that means yeah, that's what I said. That's what that means. There's strength and power when the Lord says yes and amen. He said, yeah, that's what I said. All of this is mine. All of it. Don't none of it belong to you. I'm letting you borrow it. It's wonderful that we serve a God who cares so much for us that he gives us what we need and then he gives us fun money. He does. He gives us a little fun money so that we can, and you know how I know this? Because the word also says that he gives us all richly to enjoy. Says that in 1 Timothy. Okay? So we don't have anything to worry about. Our God is taking care of stuff. And I don't care what's going on in the White House. It does not matter. It does not matter. In the large scheme of things, Because I can pray and ask the Lord, God, would you please take care of this? Would you please handle this? God, this feels uneven. This feels imbalanced. God, please help. Please aid in this area. And then he tells me what to do, and I move forward. That's how we should live. We should not live in fear. We should not live in fear. The word tells us also, fear not, for I am with you. When you walk through fire, I will be there. You will not be drowned, the word says. We are not to be in fear. We are to love. We are to love. We are to be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love and honor, giving preference to one another. Giving preference to one another. We've got to get love right. We have to do it well. As the church, we cannot mess this up. We cannot. It is the greatest tool that we have to bring people to Jesus. If we want people to come to Jesus, we must love. If we want people to give their lives to the Lord and be saved from hell, we must love. We must be kindly affectionate. We must give preference. Now, we are a welcoming church. We are. We have that reputation. But we can do more. We can go deeper. Because his love is great. His love is deep. It's so funny we sang that song today. It's like I planned it, but I didn't. How wide, how deep, how great is his love for us. So we must have the mentality of going wide, going deep, and being great. Because that's who he is, right? So we must do the same. We must follow that pattern to love widely, deeply, fiercely, greatly, furiously. We've got to do that. We've got to get this right. When we get it right, there's just so many things that are going to happen. Like, I'm looking at these chairs. There won't be empty chairs. When we get this right, we ain't going to have no debt. When we get this right, we're going to see people saved every week. Not every once in a while. When we get this right, we will have more peace in our lives and in our homes, so that when new people are coming in who don't have peace in their lives, in their home, we can tell them what we've done. We can tell them what the Lord has done for us. We'll be a greater testimony. We've got to get this right. We must love. We must love. Father God, in the name of Jesus, you want us to grow in love. And we want to be obedient. We want to be obedient children. We want to be kids who talk like you talk and walk like you talk and walk like you walk. And smell the way you smell. We want to be attractive. We want to be a good fragrance to your nostrils, Lord God. We want to get this right. Help us, God. Help us to go deeper. Help us to love widely. Help us to love furiously. And not simply out of obedience, oh God, but to love like you love. Open the eyes of our heart, Lord God. We want to see things the way you see them so that we can act the way you want us to act. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob again. I pray you enjoyed this podcast. What a blessing it has been to have you join us on this social media platform. If you would like more information about Bethel, please check out our website at bethelchurch.community. You can also follow us on our Facebook page at Bethel Church, Tepper's Plains. Have a blessed day, and remember, love never fails.